Water Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
I can't fool myself, I don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love that you see. There's not a minute, hour, day, or night that I don't love you. You're at the top.
Hey,
of my
if you're
list
in the market for fireworks, I will guide you to Firework Mania. I will admit, I'm a big old fraidy cat when it comes to fireworks. I like to watch other people shoot them off. I don't really like to shoot them off myself. But if you like to shoot them off, or you want to get some and watch other people shoot them off, Firework Mania is the place to go. You can check them out online at firework-mania.com. They're on 169 in just off outside of Spring Hill. And by the way, anything you buy there, some of the proceeds go to fund the Spring Hill Wrestling Program, or Wrestling Program.
Wrestling.
And again, you can check them out, get all the details at firework-mania.com. I went out there earlier this week. Big, nice place, air-conditioned. They got a wide variety of things, and they have a thing called PyroScan, where they've got a couple different little kiosks in the store. You walk up, you just scan the barcode, and then the video monitor right there will show you exactly what that firework
what
does.
What you're getting.
So then you know, because you look at the thing, you go, well, what does this do?
What's it going to look like?
Sometimes you don't know until you light the wick. Now, this is exactly what it does. I know what I'm getting for my money.
So cool. I will remind everyone, I enjoy fireworks. I've lit off a bunch of fireworks in my life.
Yeah.
Be very careful.
Practice firework safety.
You really should. You don't want to ruin your 4th of July weekend with a trip to the ER, okay? Don't do that. Monitor your children if they're out there lighting fireworks. Don't let them light them if you don't feel they're capable of doing it, if they're not old enough to do it. I did a lot of dumb things when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I hadn't. I never got hurt.
You're lucky.
That doesn't mean someone else may not get hurt shooting off fireworks. So be very careful.
Yeah.
And honestly, leave it to the professionals on the big stuff, right?
Yeah.
You want to have some smoke bombs and some stuff and do a little stuff in your backyard. Don't go out there and get illegal fireworks and try to shoot them off yourselves. It ends disastrously many times. Be careful.
My wife's grandmother, Ophelia, who we named our daughter after.
I thought that was a coincidence.
She lived almost her entire life with one eye because she got hit by a bottle rocket when she was a kid.
And that's not some great big industrial thing.
No.
That's just
a little
bottle rocket.
Yeah. But those things go flying and you don't know where they're going to go. And, you know, it's the thing is, you have an injury like that, that sticks with you for the rest of your life. You know, you could ask who was the football player?
Jason Pierre-Paul, right?
Jason Pierre-Paul lost some digits. So not worth it in that regard. So just be careful. You know, practice your firework safety if you do it.
I saw this reminder on Facebook, too, yesterday. Remember, it's just fireworks that are supposed to be shot up into the sky. Don't be shooting no guns up into
that's
there
either.
Gosh. One of the dumbest things that people do.
Those bullets come back down.
They all come down.
That's what the reminder was saying, you know, for this holiday season. Just it's never should you do it, but it's just
The fireworks, like some little bits of cardboard and little things like that come down. The bullet goes up. A piece of lead comes down.
A bullet comes down.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, let's.
Tragic things happen.
I'm afraid that if you're the kind of person that's blowing a gun off up into the air, you're not going to listen to us. But I hope you do. You know, don't do that. Again, if you are interested and you can do it safely and smartly and responsibly,
great place.
Firework-mania.com is the place to go. Everybody be safe. That's what we want. We want everybody to be safe. Enjoy the holiday. It's a wonderful holiday.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration of America.
It's what it is.
And
the Declaration of Independence. You know, remember what it's about, and enjoy the holiday, and you know, enjoy time with your family and friends. You got a great week planned.
Gary said I had too much stuff going on. I'm
going to a concert. Yeah. You got you're working. at the soccer
that's
game.
Not
but
work.
That's fun. And we're all going to be off here on Monday, which is cool. So, you know, just enjoy your family and enjoy your friends and have a good time, man.
Okay, yeah, allow me a moment to reflect on something then as you say that, because I'm working, you said, Sunday night. And, I mean, by the strictest definition, yes.
You're going to go do something. They're going to pay you to do it. That's working.
I'm obligated to be there. Yeah. You know, like that part of my calendar is marked off. I can't do anything else. If I wanted to go to the lake this weekend or something, I couldn't do that because, quote unquote, I'm working. We've talked a lot about career stuff this week with the intern Marissa getting mm-hmm. to meet her hero, Haley Lewis, you know, having interns on and all that stuff. I have been really, really, really fortunate in my mind to have been able to carve out some sort of career in this industry that I always dreamed of being a part of for almost a quarter of a century now. I guess you could say a quarter of a century, because my first paid gig in broadcasting was started in 1996. So that would have been over 25 years ago now, right? That was in KOFO Radio in Ottawa, Kansas.
KOFO.
My first gig was doing some weather forecasts and board shifts and weekend, you know, radio shifts. And then I got to do some, my first paid sports radio gig was doing some Ottawa American Legion baseball
mm-hmm.
At the time. So I guess I could say I've in some way, shape, or form been working in this business for over a quarter of a century. And if I was a kid, you had been able to tell me all that would have happened, I would have just absolutely turned cartwheels. I'd have been so excited.
It's like you've been doing it for a Marco.
How long Marco's been alive.
Almost a quarter century,
you're going
right?
to turn around, Marco, and you're going to look back on it, and you're not going to believe it, that it goes by that fast. So I feel very, very lucky. And I will just say this in all honesty. Like, I love doing this show. This I have more fun doing this show with my friends, Steven and Aaron Swartz when he was here, and Jake Gutierrez when he was here, and now Marco and you, than I ever thought possible. But I always dreamed of being a play-by-play guy for a team that I loved in the town that I love. And Sporting Kansas City has afforded me that in a sport that I love, in a way that just makes me incredibly grateful. And I don't know where the future of that is headed. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, hey, what does this mean with Apple TV coming into the mix?
You tell me.
My answer is I don't know. Nobody knows. They don't even really know at the league exactly how it's all going to play out. But what they are going to do is they're going to get rid of local television broadcasts. So there's going to be one broadcast like they do in the NFL for every single game in the league, which means they're going to cut the number of commentators at least in half and maybe less. And so, of course, every play-by-play guy in the league is calling the league and trying to get in good with them, and we'll see where that shakes out. Now, there's still going to be local radio broadcasts, and Apple TV is going to have a function on there where supposedly you can pick if you want to listen to your local radio mm-hmm. commentary team instead of the national
kind of like they do on
broadcast.
Baseball. You can listen to the radio, or you can choose what you're doing on baseball.
Yeah.
That'd be
can
something.
You do that while you're streaming the video too at the same time?
I don't know. You listen to the base. You can listen to the radio. So,
yeah.
You know, but this would be cool if you can watch the video.
If you can sync it up,
radio.
I mean, I'll be curious to see how the functionality works. But so that like there's. There's still going to be something. I mean, and things are going to work out for me fine in my career, whatever it happens. It's just a moment of transition. But I do know this, like I'm only going to be afforded, a dozen or so more opportunities to broadcast sporting games with the crew that I currently work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me very sad because I work with a great crew. And one of the things I love about doing television play-by-play is it is a bigger operation. Like doing radio play-by-play is fun because you get to describe more. As an announcer, you're actually the play-by-play guy. You have more to do really in many ways when you're doing radio. But it's just you and the color commentator and maybe an engineer. You know, in TV, we have our producer, Brad Mertel. We have our director, Todd Kinsey. We got our replay
cameras,
guys,
everything.
Matt McClain. We got all these camera guys. We got our audio, you know, and audio assistants and all these people that work together. And everybody, the graphics folks and all that stuff, and we're sending emails back and forth all week about what things we might want to cover in the broadcast and all this stuff. And it makes me feel like I'm part of a live team, just like when you're playing a real sport, because everybody's got to do their job. If you don't do your job correctly, then you're letting everybody else down. And everybody else on the crew, even though I'm the guy that's on the microphone, they have the power to make me look as bad or good as they want, right? And every single person on the crew knows that their job is just as important as the person next to them, even though some people get more credit publicly than others. And I love that. And I love our crew because we have like this, we have a great, I think, in my opinion, we have the best crew in Major League Soccer. All those guys I just mentioned and gals, they care deeply about doing a good job. They love the sport. They love the team. They love the town, and they invest themselves in it. And that part really makes me sad, but it also is one of those reminders when you take the air on this show, you don't know how many more times you're going to get to do this.
That's right.
When you take the air doing a sporting game, you don't know how many more times you're going to get to do that. And that's kind of life in general. None of us know what's around the corner in any respect. And this might sound really corny, but it is. I mean, I love doing that job. I get super excited to go call a game. And I feel so lucky to have had a job like this. And my buddies that make a lot more money than me, I wouldn't trade places with them. You know, even though they get to do some things I don't get to do and stuff like that, they're most of the time thinking about how they can't wait to stop doing what they're doing and saving up enough money to do it. And actually, all I ever think about is, man, I wonder how long I'm going to get to do this before somebody finally pulls the plug on me and says, you're out of here. You're not, right. We don't want you back anymore.
It's a great attitude.
And so like this weekend, yeah, I feel like, tomorrow I'm going to get to play golf with my family, which is awesome. At a place where we grew up playing, you know, I'm going to spend time, my nephews, like, and that's another one. My oldest nephew is now visiting colleges to figure out if he wants to play college soccer. He's going to study engineering. He's this great student, but like, he's almost out of the house. You know, like he's almost off to college. The first kid in the generation below me in my family, I remember holding that baby boy in my arms for the first time. Like, this is kind of my flesh and blood right here. And he's almost out of the house. Like, that time is so precious. So to get to go play golf with him and my nephew Callan, who's already in high school, which I can't believe. And my dad, who, I mean, shoot, if I didn't know how temporary that all was, watching him lie in a hospital bed for 4 days in the ICU last November, wondering, is this it? You know, like, I can't take that for granted. I get to play golf with him tomorrow. And then I get to go to the Kenny Chesney concert with my wife, the most important person in my whole life.
It's all good.
Saturday night. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be fun. And by the way, and I'm not a country fan.
You're going to sing all the songs.
It was funny. I was texting with Seth Sinovic because I invited him to go to the concert with us. And mm-hmm. he said yes, but then he said no because they got a potty train this weekend.
Oh, right. Big weekend.
But I was telling him who the lineup is. There's like three opening acts for the show.
It's a big deal. This isn't like a just show up at 9 o'clock at night deal.
And he was like, hey, this is a really good lineup. I've seen this group and this car. Let's see. Dan and Shay, apparently really good. I don't know. I said, well, I don't know who any of these people are, but I'll tell you what. I love watching live music.
Sure.
Like you and I talked about, seeing people have a good time.
It's
and the time I went to a Kenny Chesney concert, everybody was having a good time. Like everybody was in a good mood. I can't wait for that. It's going to be fun. And then I get to go do a job that I dreamed of since I was a little kid on Sunday night.
It's a good weekend.
How blessed.
It's a good weekend.
You know? And then we get to celebrate the birth of America.
Bang.
On Monday.
Well, this will probably actually do it for 4 days, but yeah. It'll be officially Monday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, too much.
Fun.
Get out of here, Lizak. I have too much going on. That's all awesome stuff.
It's great.
It's going to be fun. So fun.
I don't have so as fun. Much stuff, and I'm going to have fun.
I do need to squeeze in. The one thing is I'm going to need to squeeze in some more prep work tonight. Like, I'm going to be working all Friday evening. Which, whatever, I'm fine with that.
Well, you got to be ready to do your job.
Yeah, because you got to prep for it. Yeah. You got to be ready. I was watching the New York Red Bulls played last night against Atlanta United. They had a furious comeback win, by the way, Marco. They had a 16-year-old who scored the game-winning goal for them which, by the way, let me just tell you, this United States men's national team that's going to play in November has me incredibly excited because there are kids all over that roster that are playing at the biggest clubs in Europe and are not going to be intimidated by that stage whatsoever. And the thing is, there are kids that we haven't even heard of yet who are going to be on that next World Cup roster too in 2026. There are just more and more and more coming because Major League Soccer has finally figured out over the past 8 years how to develop players.
Yeah, there's a 14 or 15-year-old out there somewhere you don't even know who
this,
he is.
This 16-year-old kid made his debut yesterday for the New York Red Bulls, and he scored the game-winning goal. And he did it all himself. Like, he stole the ball and then drove right down the field and put it perfectly in the corner. And I was watching the kid play, and I'm like, this kid's 16? Are you kidding? Are you freaking kidding me? They're all over the place. They're all over the place. Anyway, so the Red Bulls won last night. They're coming to town on Sunday. Get your tickets at sportingkc.com. All right, now, should we take a break or should we go ahead and get back into this? I'm sorry I went on that little rant, but you just had me kind of reflective for a second.
It's all good. We should probably take a break so we can do a big fat segment.
It's this way, because I got triggered. I saw this tweet from somebody. I don't even know who this guy was, but somebody retweeted it. This is some guy that's got an MBA from one of the from Cornell. That's where the Ed Helms character from The Office. He went to Cornell.
He did.
That's all I think about. Whenever I went to Cornell. This guy with an MBA from Cornell tweeted out: "Make no your default. Whether it's new work projects or social gatherings, saying yes to things you don't have time for leads to unnecessary future decisions." In the words of Mark Manson, if it's not a F yes, it's a no. Maybe there's a stage in your life where that's good advice. I don't know. Maybe for other people, I'm just going to tell you this. All of the stuff that I just said I'm excited about doing this weekend, sitting here in this studio right now, getting to live out a childhood dream to do this job, there's no effing way any of that would have happened to me if that was my approach. None. I said yes to every gig that was offered to me. And I remember this one time. I was dating my wife early on. This was like 16 years ago. And I finally had a weekend off. And we were going to go spend some time together. And Metro Sports called me up because I was trying to start to get some... I was like, you know what? I need to grow. I need to get some TV experience. And I had reached out to them and they said, We'll give you a camera and you can go out and shoot some high school games. We'll pay you $50, whatever, and you can go do it. They called me that Saturday morning and said, we need somebody to go to Topeka, Kansas to shoot a high school state championship girls basketball game. We'll pay you $50 and, you know, give you one of our cars to drive up there and do it. Can you do it? And I said yes, and I canceled my plans with my fiance. And she called her dad and complained. And my father-in-law, God bless him, said to her, because she said, well, why can't he just say no? And my father-in-law said back to her, because he realizes that if he says no, they'll just call the next person.
And
the next time
again,
they need somebody, they'll call that person again and not him. And you should be glad that he's saying yes to something. If he's gone on a Saturday, he's coming back with more money in his pocket instead of less, you know? And so luckily I had the support of my future father-in-law at that time. But if I had said no to those things, I wouldn't have grown, you know? And by the way, I'm doing mixed martial arts play-by-play now. I've done two events for Invicta FC, which led me to doing jiu-jitsu last Thursday, which was the first time I'd ever done anything.
You
got to
say yes.
And I got my butt kicked, and you know, it was awesome. And anytime you say yes and get yourself outside of your comfort zone, you know what actually ends up happening?
You grow.
You grow as a human.
Yeah.
You learn things. You change your mind a little bit.
It's still okay to say no to some stuff.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. You know, it is okay to say no sometimes. I'm just saying, I'm just giving you my perspective. Maybe this guy, Ben, is right. He's got an MBA from Cornell. What do I know? But maybe sometimes say yes to things. You might experience something you haven't experienced before. You might grow as a human.
Absolutely.
You might get somewhere in life. Just an idea. All right, we'll take a break. You know what? We'll see if saying who. What are you laughing at now? Who called you? Who called you? Who's making fun of me? Somebody's making fun of me. Go ahead.
Well, someone called first and said, I don't know if you guys know this, but USC and UCLA are going to the
Big Ten. Oh, thanks for pointing that out. We didn't spend the first 2 hours of the show talking about nothing else
but that. Hey, he just checked his emails. Give the man a break. Okay. He's out in Independence.
Oh, he didn't know. He actually didn't know.
No, he did. Yeah, he just got into the office and said, second guy wants you to know, congratulations. You got your gold star.
I don't know what that means.
He said he's giving you a gold star.
You're doing a good job. There you go. Gold star for you.
Okay. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB, we'll talk about conference realignment. If you're just joining us, the breaking news is that several teams have left the Pac-12 to join the LIV Golf Tour.
Not true. They would never.
See, they're all leaving for money. Everybody's leaving for money. It's every sport. Everybody's leaving for money.
That's pretty much what makes a lot of the world go around.
See, what you
need. It
shouldn't
be surprising.
What you need.
That's what's going on right now in NBA. NBA free agency. Yep. They're going places for money. People to get jobs for money. I'm not saying anything's bad about any of these things.
We need to play the song Cream by the Wu-Tang Clan. Because
you know what that stands for, Marco?
You know what Cream stands for by the Wu-Tang Clan?
No, I do not. I'm not going to guess either.
Cash rules everything around me.
Cash rules everything around me.
And be careful. I don't know if that's clean
or not.
Yeah, I
don't know. Yeah, that'd be very careful. Be very careful with that.
Well, hey, it's the first of the month, so.
Yeah, that's
right,
baby.
Everyone's getting paid.
Getting paid.
It is real quick before we get into this. It is July 1st, and I saw it's Bobby Vinny a day. He gets his $1.2 million or whatever. I saw a thing that Max Scherzer, who now makes $40 million for the Mets, he has deferred money coming that's already started coming from Washington. $15 million, I think, is what he's getting. From today, from the Nationals, who he doesn't pitch for anymore. So these deferred deals are great for these guys. And it's smart. They should do this because you have a small window where you make the money.
Mm-hmm.
You should do these kind of deferred
deals.
Spread
it out.
Spread it out. So.
Spread that money out.
And July 1st seems to be the day. It's like the end of the fiscal year or whatever it is. And this is the day these checks come. It's pretty good for them.
Okay, so the big news, UCLA, we're finding out that some people are just waking up to this news, so we'll recap it for you. UCLA and USC will join the Big Ten Conference
2024.
In 2024.
2 years from today, because this is the day that you join conferences, July 1st as well.
And the Pac-12 has released a statement saying that they are extremely surprised and disappointed. But they remind everyone they've got a wonderful history of academic institutions and all those things. And now the Big Ten footprint extends from New Jersey to Southern California.
With some skips in the way.
There's some gaps there.
There's a gap between Nebraska and California.
The entire Midwest and Western portions of the country are skipped over. But we will see where things go from here. What does it mean for all of the rest of us? Well, we don't know yet. Let's play some comments for you just on what people have to say. This is Reese Davis using a phrase that has been long worn out when it comes to college realignment for over a decade now.
I think we might see an entire seismic shift, to overuse that word that everybody uses and on occasions like this, across college sports, meaning that football will govern itself, football will have its own affiliations, football will have its own championship, football will have its own recruiting rules, its NIL rules, its guardrails, its collective bargaining for revenue sharing with television money perhaps, and the other sports will sort of fall under a different umbrella. I guess it's possible that men's basketball could do that, but I think it's more likely, at least for the foreseeable future, that football goes one way, everybody else does something else. What kind of timeline that takes, things are moving really fast right now. So I would think that's a long-term thing, but long-term these days, you know, might be 5, 6, 7 years.
What do you think about this idea of football separating itself from all of the rest of college athletics? Well, does that sound realistic to you?
Yeah, it kind of does, because it's been separate to start with, you know, for a while, since they had the lawsuits back in the 80s to the old CFA. Remember that? A little alliance that they had to do television things. And then leagues own their own TV contracts. And football, they have their alignments with the bowls and all that stuff. And the NCAA, like, they, if you look at an NCAA budget for the actual NCAA, the money that they send out to schools, the huge part of that comes from college basketball tournament. The conferences control the football money more than the NCAA does. So I think it's a possibility for sure. And you know what? It honestly should be that way. I think when we get closer to this, because it is the biggest money generator and it's the thing that's easiest. We talk about travel, right? And going from the closest place like Nebraska to Southern Cal, that's your close game if you're going to get in these leagues. It makes monetary sense more to do that for one game of 12 and having 5 or 6 road games to go do that than it does to do that for volleyball, softball, baseball, track and field, swimming, diving, crew, all those things. It becomes a real burden to do that with the others. So maybe the others become more regional in what sports are supposed to be. Well, what conferences were supposed to be a regional thing when you go do it that way. So maybe that is the way to do it. I don't know.
So I this weekend, another thing added to the list is going to be reaching out to people in college administrations to see what their thoughts are on that. Because here's one of the things I've been thinking about. What are we celebrating the 50-year anniversary of right now?
Title IX.
Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this space, everybody thinks of Title IX as an athletics thing, right? Because that's what we talk about here.
That's not what it's supposed to be.
We talk. It's
how it's been turned into.
It started as an academic situation back when only men were allowed to go to law school and only men were allowed to go to medical school and all those things. They passed a law that said, no, women get to do those things too. They're capable of studying medicine and law and all those things. And so that was what the law was intended to be. And then a few years into it, some people that wanted to play college athletics said, wait a second, does this apply to sports too? And they went to court and the government said, well, heck yeah, because the NCAA is a nonprofit. This is an academic pursuit. This isn't professional athletics, right? This is an academic pursuit. These are student athletes. So yeah, of course it applies to athletics just like it does to the university, to the academic side, which is why you had all these women's soccer programs start cropping up. You got all these scholarships. There got to be an equal number of scholarships offered to women that are offered to men, right? And all these different female athletics departments started up. And that's obviously, now, again, the NCAA, being who they are, fought it, spent millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to keep it from happening, and lost. So they had to begrudgingly allow women to play sports, right? And so they did, and now there's women's sports, and that's been going on for quite some time. What happens to all of that if college football leaves? Wouldn't college football have to then walk away from their nonprofit status? If they're leaving for money, and there's not going to be an equal female representation, and they're still going to associate this with colleges, what does Title IX then do about that? How do they separate themselves from all of the rest of college athletics and still stay nonprofit?
Well, because forever wasn't the NFL a 503c nonprofit thing. I mean, it's just whatever. We get hung up on these words. They'll do whatever. I mean, they'll find some way to get around things. I don't know what the right thing to do with that stuff is, but I know this. You want to still have your big money maker, be the thing that funds these other sports.
Because that's what it does.
That's what it does. But it would be easier to fund these other sports if the other sports didn't cost as much, right? So I think maybe the negotiation is, yes, football can do whatever they want as long as you can ask anyone, like at KU or K-State or whatever, was it cheaper to play baseball in 2010 than it is today? The answer is yes. You don't have to go to West Virginia. You're not going, these long trips these other places. And it's going to get even worse for these now, right?
Yeah.
It's cheaper for – more expensive for football as well. But it's cheaper because it's only five or six games a year where you're going out. And the really long trips are only like once. It's a different deal when you're sending all these programs out somewhere. So maybe there's a way to say, let's keep this thing bringing all the money in, and it could be good for the lesser sports because it's cheaper for them to play the sports. I don't know. I mean, in the end, these sports that quote-unquote make the money, because many of these operations still operate in the red because they don't manage their money very well and they pay too much money.
Isn't it crazy to think about how much money they all rake in and then they all have like operating budget deficits?
Yeah. Well,
and
the pandemic wasn't a help on that.
But they also got to rely on so many gifts from their donors.
And they've changed
some
of the tax rules on that stuff as well. So it is complicated. And I don't know the answer as we sit here talking about this morning on what can be done about it. But I know that I would rather this. As someone who's had kids go through college, they didn't play college sports or anything. I know that college athletics has helped thousands of kids go to college who wouldn't have gone to college, whether that's football or basketball or just a partial scholarship in baseball or softball or volleyball or whatever. It's helped thousands of kids who wouldn't have gone to college go to college and actually get a degree and go change their life and not play in the NBA or whatever. They're just going to do that. And that is a worthwhile pursuit for these universities and athletics combined together. It's worthwhile to do that. And if football breaking away and having their own thing and piling up even more money, and that can, I don't want to say trickle down because that can be a bad thing, but if that can help fund opportunities for kids to go play, and the way to do that is to not go to spend money to go halfway across the world to go play a baseball game, if it's cheaper to do that and it provides more opportunities for them, I think that's worthwhile and ready to do. But
so maybe that's how they keep their nonprofit statuses, even though they join their own conferences and they're completely separate from the rest of the athletic department, they still fund the rest of the athletic department?
I mean, all of these places are separate from the universities, right? And by the way, the universities are all nonprofit too, and they're not, okay? You're charging $9,000 to eat in the dorms at some place. That ain't nonprofit, all right? So
look at how much money it costs to go to state school anymore, and it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it terrifies me.
It's absolutely, and it should terrify you. Because in the end, and I'll say this just as an aside, not involved with athletics or anything like that, you don't have to go to college to live a great life and have a wonderful job and a wonderful trade and live your life. So the dream has been sold that you have to do that. But sometimes, not every time, sometimes the dream turns out to be a nightmare because you go to college, you rack up a bunch of debt, and then it takes forever to pay it off, and you're in a job that doesn't pay enough money.
And your earning potential hasn't really increased that much compared to if you become a skilled laborer and you got paid for all your education, and then you have a job that actually provides a real skill and there's demand for.
Forever.
And all that stuff.
So, I mean,
there's
more than
all kinds
one way,
of different ways to do it.
More than one
sure.
way to do this.
For sure.
There's no doubt. So I don't want to think that the only way to change your academic situation or your economic situation in the world is to go to college, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work, taking advantage of opportunities, finding something that can do that for you can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go be a plumber, a welder, an auto technician, an electrician, drive a truck.
Pipe fitter.
My God, how many places do you see hiring for, you know, driving a big rig or whatever, just driving locally around a truck? You know, you go out and learn how to properly do that safety, CDLs and all that kind of stuff. You can go make a wonderful living and have a great life without going and racking up, $80,000 in debt to get a liberal arts degree. Okay. So there you go. That's me talking.
Life
Sorry.
Advice from Todd. I got on my soapbox and gave life advice earlier. So it's Todd Lebo's turn. And you've already had kids go through it all. So I haven't even, my kids haven't even gotten to the high school stage yet. So, all right, well, I just was curious because when I hear that about, like, college football breaking off, that's the part where just that seems very complicated. And it seems
all of this is complicated.
Very sticky.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing, too. Government's going to get involved.
Sure.
They're going
to get antitrust things going on, professional sports that are scaring people.
Yep.
There's whether you're tax exempt, not, or, you know, all those things are there. I mean, there's all this stuff is there. This is complicated stuff, man. We live in a country unlike any other in the world. Okay. This is just different. There are universities and things around the world, but nowhere else in the world has what we have with athletics at the college level. They just don't exist. It doesn't exist. It's different than anywhere, and that's good, but it's just different. So you can't compare this to other things because how the whole thing works. And, you know, we have 50 states, huge country, all across the thing, people from different parts of it playing different sports, doing whatever, and, you know, it's wild.
Okay, so let's hear some more from the experts. Rod Gilmore from ESPN. I talked about this situation we saw in European soccer where the biggest clubs in Europe tried to form a super league.
Right.
They had the whole thing done, right?
Oh, they announced it.
They announced it and everything, and there was just so much, you know,
didn't take.
Protesting and pushback and everything. It did not take. But you know what? Would it stun any of us if then, like, 2 years from now, they pull it off and they actually get it to work?
Oh, sure.
You know, they're not going to stop trying, I don't think. So here's Rod Gilmore on the idea of these big mega schools trying to form their own super conferences in college football.
It is going to leave a bad taste in the mouth of fans in the short run. The rivalries in the Pac-12 between, you know, those four schools has been intense. It's also been a big economic factor in the state, which is why the politicians were involved in 2012 and they're likely to get involved now, is because those games meant a lot of revenue, you know, in the state, in Southern California and Northern California. So I think it is going to have an impact. And what happens to the Rose Bowl? I mean, if we continue to see more fallout from the Pac-12, let's say Oregon and Washington, you know, leave, as we keep hearing rumors that they're looking to leave also.
Who do you want? Let's just daydream here. Big 12 now gets to have their pick.
Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M,
Nebraska,
Notre Dame, Nebraska.
You want Colorado back?
You know what? I'd maybe Missouri. There, that's what I want. Give me
Missouri.
16. Give me 16 that include. I don't care about Colorado. Give me 16 that include the three that left. That would get us to a 11, and then we need five more. I want Oklahoma, Texas to stay. Give me Notre Dame. It's a big deal. You know, where am I getting at? Am I getting 16? I'll keep Houston. Big city. Lock up Texas. Lock it up.
Do you want Oregon?
No. I don't want – here's what also gets lost in this. They want it to mean more. They want fans to go to the games and crap. You know how much – pressure, economic pressure this places on people who want to go watch games and want to be a part of it and want to have the fun that we had as college football, basketball fans who would travel around and maybe go to a road game in their league or something like that. Kansas basketball fans get this deal laid on them every March, right? You want to go watch your team and you get 4 days to plan, oh, I got to fly here and go do this and do all that, and you spend all this money. And that's what the bowl games are. It's some burden to go here and all this and do all these things. If they say, yeah, okay, so Missouri, you wanted to go watch Missouri play league games, you know, for 20 years. Well, for more than that when it was the Big Eight. Sure, I'll drive up to Ames, watch a game. I'll go to Lincoln. It's not that you drive over. Maybe you stay the night. Maybe you come back, whatever. Now, what's Missouri's close game? What's the,
Arkansas.
And then
Nashville, probably.
Nashville's close-ish. It depends on where you live. You're a Kansas City fan. You live in Columbia. I don't know. If you're in St. Louis, not super far, but they're in the damn East. So it's Columbia, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia. These aren't things you can just go drive off to and go do these things. So they've put a tremendous amount of, not pressure, economic burden for fans who want to go watch this stuff too. I mean, it's wild. It's wild where those things are going. So now, if you're a Big Ten fan And, you know, Nebraska was the hinterlands of the Big Ten before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to feel like you have to go out to L.A. to watch a game because you want to be part of the thing. Maybe you will. I would never go to – like when Oklahoma, they were talking about them going 12 years ago to the Pac-12. I was out. No chance you're going to catch me going out to Los Angeles to watch a football game.
Why not?
No way.
You
LA,
wouldn't want to go to the Rose Bowl?
I know. I've been to the Rose Bowl. Fine.
I've never been to the Rose Bowl. I think it'd be awesome. I'd love to see my team play in the Rose Bowl.
Being the Rose Bowl is one thing. Playing UCLA in front of 40,000 people in a place that holds 100 is another thing entirely. And I wouldn't travel. I know you love L.A. I heard you did a soccer game out there.
I did.
You can keep L.A. I don't ever need to go to L.A. again in my life. I'm fine.
What is it about L.A. that you hate? Is it traffic again?
Traffic and all the crap. Don't like it all. I don't like any of it. I don't want to go out there. I don't. I've been there a couple times. That's plenty for me. I'm 52. If I never go to L.A. again, I'm happy. And my damn brother-in-law and sister-in-law live out there.
Where do you like to go? You hate Miami. You hate L.A. You probably hate New York, I'm guessing.
No, I like New York better.
You like New York?
Better than that, yeah.
Okay.
Now, if I'm going to go watch a college football game, you're not going to New York. You're not catching me going to a Rutgers game just to check it out. Although, I went to a college football game. I went to Harvard-Yale. We went to New York and had a great time. Yeah. And we took the train up to Yale. It was fun.
You went to Harvard-Yale?
Yeah,
I went to Harvard-Yale in Boston at Fenway Park.
I went to Harvard-Yale at the Yale Bowl.
Oh, you want to talk about some academic snobbery. Oh, my God. This was one of the greatest things I'd ever seen. I mean, because I was there. We just happened to be there for the Big Steps race that you know that we do for my buddy. And we're there, and we find out the Harvard-Yale game that year, they call it the game.
The game. That's what they call it. The game.
Oh, the game. They don't usually play at Fenway Park, but right. For whatever reason, that year they decided to do it. And we could get walk-up tickets because it wasn't sold out right. Or anything. And we bought tickets, and we went. And we just kind of went to different places. We went up on the Green Monster for mm-hmm. a little bit, and we went some other places. And we were around some Harvard fans, and at one point, Harvard had fallen behind in the game. And the Harvard fans, they all wore these wool sweaters yeah. with the H on yeah. them. Everybody had a wool sweater with this traditional Harvard H on it. And the Harvard fans in our section, as they had fallen behind, and the Yale fans were kind of cheering and, you know, all that right next to them, they started chanting, "Safety school."
Please.
Oh, I was like, wow, that's the snobbiest chant I've ever heard.
You know where else
life.
I don't want to go? I don't really want to go to Atlanta to watch a game either. You know, there's nowhere there at Georgia Tech's there.
Yeah.
Atlanta sucks.
I watched Georgia Tech set all kinds of NCAA rushing records against Turner Gill's Kansas yeah. Jayhawks. I was on the sideline for that at Georgia Tech.
You're on the team bus. It was easier to get around Atlanta on that.
That was not fun.
No.
That was 75-yard run after 75-yard run yeah. after 75-yard run.
Maybe I don't like
run.
Big cities. Maybe I'm just a little Kansas City kid.
Yeah. You like going to the college towns. You like going
I love
to
it.
Auburn.
Love going
you
to
knew
Auburn.
That.
We had to fly to Atlanta to get there,
so,
but I went.
So Brett McMurphy says, now that USC and UCLA officially joined the Big Ten, what's next for Notre Dame, SEC, Big 12, ACC, blah, blah, blah. He says, the Big 12 may get aggressive and go after Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado.
Those four make some sense to me. For what Stan was talking about.
Want to go down to U of A?
My team's going to be in the SEC, so I won't be going. But, no, I wouldn't probably go out there and watch those games. I'll watch them on TV.
I've been to a basketball game at U of A.
I'd definitely watch them on TV and stuff. But I think, like, then if
– Tempe's a fun town.
It's a different deal. Now, you're not talking about – you drive there from Lubbock or something, but is there a K-State – football fan is going to drive out to Arizona to watch
a random game.
I just think it makes it harder for what conferences were supposed to be. And I'm sounding like an old man here, an old fuddy-duddy. Give me the way it used to be. But the regionality is what made it all fun.
100%.
With the fans and all that
100%.
Stuff. That's what made it fun. We've lost our K-State-Nebraska football rivalry. Yeah. We've lost our Missouri-Kansas basketball football rivalry. We've lost our Missouri-Nebraska, Missouri-K-State. We've lost all those things. We're throwing Bedlam away. It's gone.
That's
it's going to
so
be
absurd.
Gone.
It's just
Nebraska,
so
Oklahoma, yeah. decades of all of it gone. Yeah. So it is what it is.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I'm just thinking, but this is the landscape now.
So now you just got to go make new rivalries. But you know, you can't make a new rivalry in 2 years. It doesn't work.
But I will say this. I don't want to go to Morgantown, West Virginia.
No.
At all.
No.
I'd go to Tucson. And I'd go to L.A. Here's, like, I got buddies. I don't get to do this as often, but I got buddies that, like a buddy of mine, Andy Argybright, give him a shout out there. He and his brother, every year, pick one road trip. and they go watch Kansas basketball somewhere.
Sure, that's fun.
And they've been down to Lubbock, and they've been down to Waco, and they don't drive to those places.
Right.
But you pick one. You're not going to all the games.
Nope.
Like in the old days, the Nebraska fans went to every effing road game they had. They're probably you're probably not doing that in the Big Ten.
It was fun to go win, too.
Yeah.
And they don't do that.
Yeah, now, well, that's true. All right, we'll take a break. We'll hear from Tim Grunhardt. He'll answer for all of Notre Dame's roles in this right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.